Okay, welcome. This is another TFB Spotlight interview, and I have a treat for you because, first of all, we're doing it as a video interview, so this is new for us. And the guest that I have today is someone you're really going to want to hear from. You can see it. Meet Barry Vaders. And he has food and beverage bookkeeping. So just even the name of his business, you can tell that Barry has a specialty. So he has a special place in my heart because I'm always saying how important it is to specialize in a certain area in your bookkeeping business. And I'll let Barry tell you his story. But basically the way that we met is he found me on my The Freelance Bookkeeper blog and became a member of the TFB Premium Program. And then Barry also went on to coach with me. So I know his business quite well now. And he's not new to bookkeeping, but he sure has a lot of valuable information to share with us as freelance bookkeepers, and especially if you're looking to be a virtual bookkeeper or you already are. Barry also has some wonderful tips and war stories, I'm sure, to tell us as well. So with that, I won't hold us up any longer. And thank you, Barry, for
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and thank you for being willing to try this new tech way. Actually, I should give you credit because you're
right.
You're the one that told me that I need to do more on camera. So here you go.
I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and I'm joining you.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. So we have several questions to go through, and
sure.
I know you have a lot to share with us. So let's just start off. So for the first one, just give us a little bit of background about yourself and why you decided to start your business as a freelance bookkeeper.
Really, I started out mostly due to the lack of interesting employment opportunities in the Toronto market. I had just returned from the UK after many years, and I couldn't find a job that I got excited about, unlike in the UK. So it was that and recognizing the need in the market. I've been in the food and beverage business all my working life, so I know lots of people who own bars and restaurants. So those two things just came together in a really convenient way. It wasn't planned. It just happened. And very quickly, I was able to have a full practice.
Wow. So did you ever own a restaurant of your own?
Yes, I've owned restaurants and bars in the past.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
You're a serial entrepreneur.
I guess so. The restaurant business can be pretty short. The standard is, you know, usually after about 5 years, you want to sell it and move on.
Okay.
That's how the formula worked for the longest time. But I've always been employed. I was employed in hotels. I was employed in independent owner-operated establishments in the UK. I worked for some of the largest food service operators in the world. So I've spent my entire life in and around food and beverage. So it's a natural fit that I would start a bookkeeping business to support those independent owner-operators.
Mm-hmm. But now you're actually in the Toronto area, and are you a Canadian? You're in Canada.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I'm a born and raised Torontonian.
Ah, okay. Torontonian. Ooh, that's
yes.
cool. Okay, so that's interesting. So you've had food and beverage businesses yourself. How did you get to go to the bookkeeping side of things?
Well, when I started a classical apprenticeship as a chef, and that included a big piece of that included financial responsibilities around costing, inventory control. I moved from there into a management training program where there were more financial responsibilities. As a general manager in independent restaurants, I was responsible for all of the administrative bookkeeping and those related tasks. In the UK as well, all the jobs that I've always had have always had some element of financial accounting involved in it.
I see. So have you had any formal training as a bookkeeper, or is it all from, you know, going through those programs?
I did do industry training through employment to meet their standards. I did a the British Institute of Hotel Accountants. That's a trade qualification. It's not an accounting qualification. I'm a member of two bookkeeping organizations here, one of which requires a certain amount of academic courses to join. And I did complete a full 4-year honors BA in accounting.
Well, you got plenty of credentials
Yeah.
there. You got more than me, that's for sure, way more. But you know, that's a big question that a lot of bookkeepers rightfully ask about is credentials. So you have it on both sides, the very
Industry related.
industry related. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So what's the biggest challenge that you've had, or you did have when you first started your business? And I guess you'll have to give us a little bit more, because this isn't your first bookkeeping business either.
No, this is my second bookkeeping business. I guess my first initial, the biggest challenge I had was pricing the work. I think that that was where I probably made the biggest mistake. By not pricing it in terms of what the market rate was, because I was unaware of it. And also, I wasn't selective enough about the types of clients that I chose. Although I loved all of my clients and they were all great to work with, some of them just didn't have the resources to pay for the type of work I was doing for them. I was doing work that would otherwise cost them triple or quadruple what I was charging them. And I was really unaware of that. I was so used to reporting to management, no questions asked, that it took me a little while to understand that the relationship has changed and I'm actually selling these services now. So that was really my biggest challenge. It was no challenge in finding clients.
Oh, okay, because that was going to be the next question is, you know, how did you find your first few clients?
It was one particular market area in Toronto that is got a high concentration of restaurants, and it's an area where I had been a general manager in restaurants before, so I was sort of known there. There were some really long-term businesses there, and a friend of mine opened her own restaurant and needed some help, so she was really client number one, which was really, timing-wise, it was perfect. So I mean, she basically got my undivided attention. And then from there, it was just two doors down. Somebody needed somebody around the corner. Somebody needed some. And before I knew it, within the course of 12 months, I wasn't taking any more clients.
Wow. So it's
Yeah.
really because it's a tight community, the restaurant community in your area, they all know, well, you're in a huge city, but in the
Yeah.
community, they know each other.
Yeah, that was the one market area where it was really a word of mouth. But also, like you say, the restaurant industry itself, although it's large, it's still a community, and that is how I've always gotten my clients in the past, is through referrals from people already using my services or people who have used my services in the past.
Have you ever had any other kind of business come to you and ask for bookkeeping? I'm just curious.
On the odd occasion, I have. I've had events people who run food markets. So I've been referred to them through the Food Network, but it's just a completely different kind of business. And I've had some food manufacturers contact
So
me.
how did you react to that? Because
Well,
you do mostly
I always
restaurants.
wanted to know how they got my contacts, and it's always from within the food business community that they found them. But they are food manufacturing is completely different than restaurants. Events managements and event companies are totally different. So they're just not what I do, and I had no qualm about making it clear, like, you know what? I do restaurants and bars.
So what do you do when that happens, though? Do you refer them to somebody else?
I have in the past, but my best recommendation for them is to contact through email, and I will give them the email, the big national bookkeepers association, and they're quite happy to hook you up with somebody who's in your area and who is taking clients and who is experienced in your field. So
That's a great
that's
tip.
been my catch-all, is to refer them to the IPBC.
That's a great tip, actually, because I even sometimes have trouble referring out when I get potential clients coming in that are not a good fit. If I don't have a colleague to refer them to, I'm always like, who do I send them to? Good idea, Barry. See, you give
There
me
you
tips
go.
here too. So where are you now in your business? Give us an update of where you are now and where you think you're going to be going.
I'm in the midst of a transformation of my business. I decided about 2 years ago, I was conscious that I really wanted to change my business. I wanted more from my business. I wanted customers that were capable of paying a higher fee for the quality services that I gave. So I wanted recognition for the value that I brought to the table. And what I understood more than anything was that I needed to build my company with a more professional image and in a way that instilled confidence in someone as the category authority, which is a little bit different than when you build a business on referrals. With referrals, it's always someone else is having the conversation about you. And all my clients I did love very much, and I got lots of referrals, but I got lots of referrals just like them. So unsuitable businesses. So I took the plunge and decided that I was going to close my practice and move all of my clients out. I kept a very small select number of larger clients. And haven't really looked back since. I've rebranded the company. I chose to go a combination of on-site, off-site. So I've been developing a virtual delivery system
Good for you.
for my clients, and I've been struggling with more with the marketing of it more than anything, but it has been a complete transformation of where I was in January, even till now. It is a completely different business with a different name and with a much more focused ideal client.
Yeah, that's great. So you've come a long way, but let's back up a little bit because you had a full practice already, and it was just kind of their qualification as clients were that they had a bar or a restaurant.
More or
And
less.
then you got to the point where you realize some of them are good, some of them aren't. I guess I have a question within a question here. So first of all, how did you realize that the quality of what you were providing didn't match up with how much either they could afford or you were getting paid? How did you come to that realization?
By doing a little bit of market research and by really looking at the my main competition, or who has become my main competition, and looking at what they were charging and the services that they were providing, and realizing that I provide a higher quality of service delivered in a much with a much better experience for the client and at nowhere near the price. So that's when I realized that I needed to actually change the whole image of the business and market it in a little in a different way if I wanted to compete with who I deem to be my number one competition.
Yeah, that's great. Now, your competition, are there other bookkeeping services that specialize in restaurants in your area?
I have yet to meet a company or a individual who solely specializes in restaurants. My main competition specializes in restaurants, but in very many segments of the business. They do marketing, they do operational, they do, so they have a whole suite of services. And what I realized is a lot of their clients, their long-term clients, are on their accounting package. And I realized pretty quickly that I could beat their service, and I could charge a similar, if not as high a price for it.
Okay, that's great. So again, there's another tip is that looking around and seeing what are others offering and then comparing it to your own on a quality level and a price level so that the value from the client standpoint can be compared.
And so I guess the other thing I came away with as well, which I knew I had to bury my existing practice and start over, was the quality of the clients that my competition has.
So better quality clients?
They have very, very high quality clients.
Now, how did you find out who their clients were?
They have testimonials. They have they've got a full on website. It's not hard to find out too much about those guys. I even met a couple of the juniors in the office. They're often recruiting. I didn't go as far as to go for the interview, but I totally understand the specifications that they were looking for in the job. I understood how they were delivering their service, and I had the fortunate experience of working with a big nightclub owner here who used them in their in one of his other businesses, and I got to pick the package apart and could see quite clearly that this is easy to beat. I knew that I could beat it, but yet the competition had high quality. They've got my clients.
They have the type of clients that I want.
Yeah.
Ah, very good, very good. So then you went back to the drawing board, said, "I'm going to rebuild my business."
Yes.
That must have been a little bit scary, even on a financial standpoint.
Well, I had planned it. I put aside a fair amount of capital to finance it and to make the investment that was needed and to keep myself afloat. And I also kept a handful of excellent clients who it was more than sufficient to cover my personal costs. So I bought myself the time and the luxury of making an investment without having to worry about keeping up. It was very hard to close my business, and I moved on about 16 files, and about 16 files altogether, and that was really hard. Some of those people I'd worked for 10 years.
Okay, here's a question then. You got rid of almost all your clients, kept only a few of the biggest ones. Were they also higher quality?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that I was charging really what I believe to be the fair market rate for. And they had the volume and the size of the business that
they
could
qualified
afford.
Absolutely. As an ideal client.
Yeah. And that's really what I did, is I looked at it really sort of coldly to determine who qualified and who didn't. And luckily enough, at least I had, five or six files over three clients that fit the bill. So I still had a business. I still had an income, but I just had to let go of a lot of people who had trusted me and we had worked together, like I say, with some for more than 10 years. That was really, really difficult, but it was also a good learning experience for me. I was committed to them. I moved them on to new bookkeepers, most of whom they found themselves, and I've remained in touch and watching the experience that they went through. I came to realize a very low quality of bookkeeping is available here. So, it could be everywhere, but particularly I had no idea that the quality could be so low. So that's gone a little bit towards developing a bit of training. I've had a couple of clients come back to me who say they are so unhappy they want to bring it in-house. So I've developed a little bit of training with some of them. And it's also showed me that I'm justified in asking for my price.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, it's funny because this next question is supposed to be like, if you had to start again from scratch, how would you do it differently? Well,
you're right.
You did.
Yes.
You did do it. And something else that you did that first of all, that took a huge amount of courage to do that. And you did exactly what I admire from The Pumpkin Plan, the book by Mike Michalowicz, talks about what you do is you focus on your absolute best clients, and then you're going to grow it from there, and you get rid of everybody else that doesn't fit what you want your business to be like, and that's exactly what you did.
Yes.
So you are definitely positioned to become a colossal pumpkin.
Yes, well,
in the restaurant business, to be able to be the bookkeeper to restaurants. So excellent. That's, You know, Barry, that's why I go. I like Barry.
Well, I mean, a lot of my mindset has been formed through being a member of TFB and doing the coachings with you and following the monthly trainings and just branching out from there. It was a whole new world to me. One of the things, if I had to do it again, I think I would keep my specialty, but I think I would build stronger networking relationships with qualified bookkeepers who I respected. And that's the one thing I never really did until about 18 months ago. And it has changed everything.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And that's part of that win-win philosophy that I put through. It's part of it. All of us together as bookkeepers can help one another. Now, you mentioned that you've been making the transition to more of a virtual way of working with your clients. So talk to us about that.
Well, I do a combination of virtual from my own office and on site. And it's actually, I love it. I think that it is the most efficient way to be a bookkeeper today. There is no reason why you should be going in, and especially in restaurants, they're usually awful offices. There's no reason why you should be going in there to do paper, to process paper, when with just a couple of little tweaks and a little bit of a mindset change, you can get exactly what's needed to be far more efficient and serve the client better. I still need to have that face-to-face relationship. The majority of my clients are chefs, so I have to actually look at their menus, talk to them about what's in the market, listen to what they're trying to promote, walk through their businesses to see where there is opportunity to minimize cost or to go over financials on a face-to-face level. So now when I'm in the units, I'm really spending time with either management or the owner and delivering a really customized high level of personalized service, which just justifies my fee. The bookkeeping aspect of it is now really it gets more efficient every month.
Excellent. So does that mean you're moving more to a consultative model with your clients?
I guess you would call it consultative. Most of what I have to say to them and most of what they're interested in hearing from me has to do with the financials. So,
you know,
and not a lot of it is I'm missing a receipt or how do you want me to post this? It's a matter of saying, you know, well, your food cost percentage gone up over last month when your revenue went down. Your labor didn't change. Let's try to introduce some labor controls if you're interested. And I've got more templates in Excel than, you know, I care to think about. So I have a lot of the knowledge and experience and templates available to identify a situation where, well, you know, let's look at this for a quarter or a period and let's see if we can't get this down. And that is part of the service.
That's excellent because actually, I mean, whether you realize it or not, what you're doing for a value standpoint is you're meeting the client where they care about their business.
Absolutely.
Which is, like you said, you know, how are they doing with the money? You're playing financial advisor, although that may not be the right term, but
controller
or partner. Yeah. What about these clients and their accountants, you know, their tax preparers? Do you have a build a relationship with them?
Some of them, I have a couple of CPAs that I use if the client doesn't have their own CPA. If the client does have a CPA, I've never had a problem working with any of them. It's not gone as well as I have thought it would have over the years. I've got very little or any referrals from them. And I think like most accountants, they're just really worried about getting through tax season. You know, if I bring them a new client, it's not thank you. It's, well, can we have the year end in June? Yeah, it's not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's never really worked out. So I'm in the market for a couple of new ones.
Yeah, that's right. If you're bringing them business and and there's no appreciation there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've gotten little, if any, business from any of the CPAs I've ever dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah. That's interesting. And you know, you're right. It's about relationships, and some people aren't open to building them. And
yeah.
So you move on and look for the ones who do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, how about any lessons, with golden nugget lessons that you've learned now in your years? Because technically you've had at least two bookkeeping businesses. You've had a few food service businesses. What big lessons have you learned over that time that has helped you to run your business more efficiently?
I guess the biggest lesson, I don't know if so much as if it was a lesson or if it was a mindset going in, is to specialize. Mm. The yeah. specialization just makes running your business and honing your skill and delivering a quality service that much easier.
Yes.
So specialization, I think, is really core to the success of anybody who wants to develop a busy practice. And I guess the other thing that I would say is really, not all people who are looking for bookkeepers are clients.
Mm-hmm. Very good distinction.
Yeah, the vast majority of them, they're not clients. They're just looking for bookkeepers.
Uh-huh.
And realizing that and being able to have the economic resources to say no, even when you need the, you know, it would be nice to get those slots filled in your practice. You have to trust your gut and have your severe criteria in the front of your mind all of the time and stick to it, because in the long run, it will pay off. Mm-hmm. I think if you compromise on the type or the quality of client that you accept, you're setting yourself up for trouble down the road at some point.
Yep, I agree. And sometimes that can change too, that you may have a client for a long time and you kind of outgrow them.
Sure.
I'm sure that happened.
Yeah.
Happened with what you were doing. So do you have any advice for any fellow bookkeepers who maybe are already serving restaurants? Maybe they have only a few restaurants, or they're thinking that, I have one or two, but I have all these other kind of clients. Maybe I should specialize in restaurants. What would you give if you put your arm around them, you know, and want to whisper in their ear, what should they know about working with restaurants that maybe they wouldn't know otherwise?
Well, there's a couple of things. If you know the restaurant business, you will quickly come to realize that resources can be wasted very, very quickly there. I would recommend to anybody who wants to serve or specialize in restaurants is to understand, especially owner-operated restaurants where the owner is the chef, understand that they have a limited capacity for either understanding or being able to actively participate in what it is bookkeepers do. They may be able to, you know, put the information into a shoebox for you, and that would be good. That's better than a whole lot of them. But understand that there's always other resources available within the organization, especially managers. Managers are an integral part of how I deliver my service, and it's not anything more than low-grade, repetitive administrative tasks. It's not touching the ledgers. It's not doing any bookkeeping at all. But it is doing things like teaching them how to write up deposits and how to use Excel. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of separation of duties, which is always a good thing. The owner doesn't have the time to do it. I shouldn't be doing it. Here you have management who's in the perfect, and in technically speaking, back in my day, that was the manager's job. Now it tends to be managers are more like head waiters, but realize that managers are going to be the ones that you will work the closest with, and don't be shy to encourage owners to develop their management team and introducing them to some administrative tasks is a good way to develop their skill. They'll engage with it. It becomes more than just a title. Scanning documents, and I think that something that you warned me about very early was something that you would have a challenge doing, getting them scanned. I have found so far that making it the manager's responsibility has meant that it's always there. It's always done. So I think that that's one of the crucial things for a bookkeeper to understand is that it's a team effort in a restaurant, and there tends to be a lot of resources available in a restaurant. They're just not being used properly. So don't be shy to say, you know what, you need your manager to do X, Y, and Z, and then this way we get to achieve, the goal of a quick turnaround or constant reporting or minimized overpayments to suppliers or verification that all credit cards were received properly according to the sales cash out. So it's little things like that.
Yeah, no, that's actually a great tip because for me, as someone who does not have a specialty in restaurants, I've never had any restaurant clients and probably never will. That to me is beautiful because what you're saying is delegate a lot of the low-level admin tasks to the existing staff in the business so that you, as someone who wants, is a bookkeeper, you're getting elevated to that higher level so that you can do more of the consultative type things, the stuff that the business owner really wants, the value that they see in it. And you're using their existing staff. So it's great. I
It's a
think
better
that's
allocation of resources for sure.
yeah,
And it
yeah,
enables
and the
me to,
language.
it enables me to work from my office. So I now have a thing, if I leave my office or I touch a piece of paper, I start losing money. And I've said that to my clients, and they sort of get it. They don't really understand it, but it's true. By using the bank feeds, by using, secure document exchanges and working with online an online accounting platform, I'm not 80% of what I used to do on-site, I now do from my office.
So you're using QuickBooks Online?
QuickBooks Online and Smart Vault. And
Very
that's
good.
actually how we met.
Yes.
You did a webinar on Smart Vault about 18 months ago. I was already in the mindset of wanting to change. I just didn't know how to change, and I was groping around and trying to feel my way around in that whole online world of service providers. And I had joined Twitter, and I joined Twitter with one tweet, and I had 400 followers within a month, and someone had tweeted your webinar, and that's how I found it. And then that's when I realized what my vision for the company was congruent with what was possible, and I had just seen it, so I decided I was going to go for it. So there are
Beautiful.
more applications out there. Now, one of the big things in restaurant is getting rid of very expensive, outdated POS systems and going to apps that are housed on iPads that now are syncing into the QuickBooks Online. So we're talking about an entire ecosystem. One of the big challenges I'm trying to address right now is I want to automate the accounts payable. So I'm looking for a service provider who is affordable and reliable enough so I can stop cutting checks.
Have you looked at bill.com?
I have looked at Bill. It's a little bit too expensive, and they're not really doing that much business in Canada. I've looked at it. I've just done a deep dive on a Canadian provider, and it's completely unsuitable. So I will go back to bill.com and dig a little bit deeper.
Take a look. And yeah, you make me think about bill.com because I know in the US they have a relationship now with the QuickBooks Pro Advisors, but I'm not sure if that extends to Canada
Yeah,
right now.
Canada's always sort of an afterthought for a lot
A
of it.
little behind. Well, that's okay. Come on, the Canadian Pro Advisors, let Intuit know that you want what your US colleagues have. So
Absolutely.
anyway. Well, thank you, Barry. I really appreciate you taking the time to let
Thank
us see
you.
the inside of your business. And If anybody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Best way to do that is email me at barry@fnbbookkeeping.com. Or I do have a contact form on my webpage, fnbbookkeeping.com. It's really meant for clients with restaurants, but there's a comment box in there, which is a required field. If you want to just pop something in there, I will definitely get in touch.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. Take care.
You too.